Hey everyone, welcome back to the Your Fielder's Choice NHL podcast. I'm your host, Devin, joined as always by Pete. How are you doing today, Pete?
What's up, guys? Doing well. After a couple small slates, now we're back to a gigantic one, right? 11 games, a couple of good games, looks like some lopsided games, but then a couple good matchups. So I don't know. I'm not sure if I like these slates this big, but it is what it is.
Yeah, she's a whopper here. We've got 10, just about half the slate has a total of 3 or higher. Over half the slate has a total of 2.9 or higher. So a ton of targets, a couple teams with really, really high totals. We've got 3 teams with totals over 3.5, which is rare. Typically, we'll see maybe one. We're gonna want It's gonna be some chalk big boys here, and so we're gonna have to dig into how to get to those and see if we can find some value to get some of these big boys that you're gonna wanna have. So let's go ahead and take a look at Vegas. We've got Toronto at Ottawa, implied total of 4.2. Very rare to see anybody over 4, only seen it a couple times this year. But Ottawa has played, I believe, 2 of the last 3 days now, while Toronto's been off for a bit. So not a surprise to see that total. Then we have Pittsburgh with a rematch with Buffalo. They just played yesterday. Pittsburgh absolutely smashed. Same matchup here, 3.9 implied total. Washington at home versus New Jersey, 3.6. Florida, 3.4. Then we've got New York, Nashville, Chicago, and Colorado all at 3.2. Carolina, Tampa Bay at 3.1. Philadelphia, Boston, and Minnesota, 2.9. Everybody else is 2.7 or below, including Vegas, which opened up at 3.2 and has dropped all the way down to 2.4. Not really sure if Vegas is ex if that's just bet heavy that did that. The line came in and people bet them to be below that, or what's going on with that. But some interesting lines and some really big lines. So let's go ahead and start off with the obvious here. We've got Toronto at 4.2, Austin Matthews listed at center. What are you doing with Austin Matthews here?
Like always, I mean, we got at least tonight. We got a bunch of stars. It seems like we have everybody but McDavid playing tonight. So I still think
Oh,
Matthews.
thank goodness they're not on the slate. I
I know,
wouldn't even.
but the only good thing is like if McDavid was on there, at least it would, you don't run into the 70% owned, Matthews and stuff. It'll be more stretched out a little bit. But I think Matthews has got to be the play. Of course, Ottawa's tired, and just the way he's been. He's got 6 goals and 5 assists against him this year. And this is a team that's giving up 3.74 goals per game. I mean, he's been on a little bit of a cold streak, which is well documented, but I still think it's, fade at your own risk. To me, he's your lock, he's your cash play. And MacKinnon's more of a GPP leverage play, who finally exploded the other night. Had a good game. I mean, you could possibly play these two together. Not sure if that's going to work, but Matthews, to me, Matthews the play. MacKinnon's my GPP leverage. I like a little MacKinnon Makar GPP stack or something, mini stack, but that's how it's going to go with me with the higher end guys.
Yeah, the good news here is it's been a wrist injury for Matthews. So that's the kind of thing that just needs time. They haven't played in 5 days. So you gotta figure it's gotten stronger over those 5 days. Finally got a little break, which is what he needed. So I feel like he's gonna get back to where he was. He doesn't go gone pointless the last two. That doesn't happen very often. And as you mentioned, he's just crushed Ottawa this year. If you look a little over a month ago, they had a 3-game set. He had 36.8, 11.5, and 37.3 against Ottawa. So 2 of his 3 games were over 30. So he could easily pop off for 30 here. He's given that that wrist has a few days off, and the fact that, like I said, Ottawa's played a lot lately. So and I believe they're still down to their third string goalie, who's played really, really well. But it's a different beast when you're going up against Toronto than a Calgary team that's been, not very good this year. So yep, gotta like Matthews. MacKinnon, I absolutely love for GPPs. That top line is just scorching hot right now. The fact that it's Vegas, though, Vegas can shut down anybody. So I do think more of a GPP pivot. They're absolutely cash viable, 3.2 implied total. So if you just have a gut call on McKinnon and cash, sure. To me, I think it's Matthews. I think we're going to have to play Sid here at 7-6, though. He now has double digits in 12 straight. 27, 15.8, 14.5, 15. Those are his last four. He's been absolutely incredible. With Malkin out, he's playing 20-plus minutes a game. He's taking massive shots, 7, 4, 3, 8, 5. Those are his last five games. He's shooting more than he ever really does. I just 7-6 is too cheap. He's going to be chalk here. I can't imagine a scenario where it's not Sid Matthews chalk centers.
Yeah, especially with the price that's workable, a 7-6. And he had seven shots last night, back-to-back.
Yeah, yeah, that's just feels entirely too cheap.
Who's terrible. And then I was just trying to do a little bit of some research because, we can jump down to value quick before we get to mid-range guys. Jared McCann, who's been skating on the second line, but Kapanen took a puck off the foot last night, left the game, then returned and left again. So I've been trying to find any kind of news. Everything I'm seeing right now, he's going to be evaluated later today, game time decisions. So if Kapanen does go out, it looks like McCann's going to go up to the power play one, which he did when Kapanen went out last night. So I think McCann becomes a value play two, is possibly a utility play. I'm not saying play him over Sid, but that may turn into a nice value at 3-4 he is if Kapanen is out.
Yep, watch that. I assume it would be McCann. McCann's actually had a good year. DFS
He went right up there last night to the top unit. So I'm assuming that's what's going to happen again today.
Yep, if he's out. He's got three straight over eight, which at 3,500 we can deal with.
It's Buffalo.
And only in one of those games does he even have a point. So he's picking up DFS points with peripherals. He's putting shots on net, the occasional block shot, plus obviously he's about a half a point per game pay. Yep, I like that top line. That becomes a very strong value. Certainly a utility play that you could absolutely run out there, because you're going to want exposure to Pittsburgh. You're going to want exposure to Toronto. So there's some cheap wings we'll get to as well for Toronto. What else do you have value-wise?
Yeah, because really, I mean, if you're going to use Sid, you really can't use any mid-range guys unless GBP. You can just throw out there Aho. He's had 3 goals and 4 assists in 6 games against Columbus this year. 5 goals, 5 assists over his last day. He's hotter than people think. GBP, especially if you use a Sid. Strome at 5-6, who's been playing really well. He's got 6 points over his last 4 games, also taking 14 shots during those games. But he's probably a little bit more too expensive also if you're going to use AM34 and Sid. So my other value plays, Cy McCann. I don't know if we always talk about hints if he plays. 4-6, I still think is. I mean, if the guy's in the lineup, he's going to get you double digit DK points. His salary never goes up pretty much because he plays every other game. He would be in play if he plays. Kuznetsov, who's now on OV's top line, 0.6 for his last 7. And my last one is Wennberg. Wennberg doesn't have a really high ceiling, but with Barkov out again, he's going to be asked to produce, and he's centering 2 very good wingers in Huberdeau and Hornquist, plus top power play unit.
Yep, he moved up to the top power play unit. Yep. So, yeah, we've got some options here below 4K that are in strong spots. And Rope, I can't believe you messaged me and thought he was done with his leg injury.
Yeah, that looked bad.
Comes back somehow, plays 18 minutes. This dude does is produce. He's got double digits in 6 of 7. So, if you end up in this kind of funky mid-range area, it's not a great matchup. They've got a lower total. But, Rope Hintz has been a guy I've leaned on quite a bit this year, if I land in that 4K range. But, yeah, I think it starts with Sid, Austin Matthews. You're going to want to play at least one. I expect both to be pretty chalky here, to be honest. Really like the McCann call if he's on that top power play. And all the guys you mentioned as well, especially GPPs, like Ryan Strom's playing a lot better than people realize, like you said, Aho as well. Definitely some options here. All right, let's swing to wing. We're going to give you kind of a condensed player pool because otherwise we'll just name 1,000 players because it's such a slate. I mentioned some of this value we're going to need. Wayne Simmons is back. He's still projected to be on the top line, top power play unit, and he actually dropped in price down to 3,400. I think that's going to be chalky, and I think that's a really, really strong value. He let us down the other day, but again, 5 days off, tired Ottawa team, exposure to the highest total on the board. I think you're going to need multiple Toronto pieces here. How about you?
Yeah, I like seeing Simmons at that 2.9 range, better than 3.4, but I'll take it. And he probably, because you need more than just Matthews, and if you want to play Sid and you want to play maybe another higher price winger, you got to find value somewhere. So it probably will be Simmons. Anybody else in that same range? I mean, there's a couple other guys I also like. I still like Jaden Schwartz. I still think he's too cheap on DK at 3.8. He's got assists in back-to-back games, still on that top power play and top unit. That whole line is so cheap now. Terrace, one Shen, a whole bunch of them are around 5K-ish. Kokkonen for the Devils. He's getting time on that top line and power play, where the other two aren't, at 3.9. And who I have, here's one I think, obviously it's more of a GPP play, but just because of the game environment, is Dadnoff. He's packing that top power play for Ottawa with Norris and Tkachuk, getting power play one, and then a pace up against Toronto. So, and Dadnoff, I believe, is under 3K, right?
He is 3-1.
3-1. So he's another one, I think, that more of a probably GPP dart. So I'm going to go down there, probably would end up with Simmons. But just the game environment, and we all know, I mean, he's a pro. He's been around. He's scored goals before. I still think Dadnoff is still too cheap. I mean, he hasn't had double-digit DK game in probably 2 weeks. But, you know, just a game environment.
Yep, there are a few options. Again, we talk about it all the time. You want to take a punt, try to make it a logical punt. Look for those guys, top power play unit. So Dadnoff, yeah, lower total, but again, top power play unit increases the chances. Another guy that you actually talked about the other day, I don't even know if you realize how well he did, but Brandon Hagel remains on that top power play unit for Chicago. He is 2,900. He put up 16.8 last game. He had an assist, the 5-shot bonus, and a block shot. Played 13 minutes, so not crazy minutes, but, you know, no Barkov for Florida weakens them. Chicago at home, power play one gives you exposure to Patrick Kane and DeBrincat, two of the better offense players in the NHL. So Brandon Hagel, 2.9, certainly another punt play to absolutely have on your radar.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I almost used him the other night. He's one of my top values, and I wish I did now. So definitely, and any that's why I keep going back to Kane. I mean, he's been putting up decent numbers. He still hasn't scoring goals like we're used to. But I still think Kane at 7.4 is still one of the best values on the slate. I mean, he's playing 23 minutes, and especially anybody on that, him or Pia Suter is up top with him and DeBrincat and the Hagel on the second line, and then now including Kubala, too, who shoots the hell out of the puck. All these guys, especially with this four is a different team without Barkov, and he's their top, defender, and I could see a massive monster game from Kane tonight, or one of these guys from Chicago is going to score. This could be the sneaky. What's Chicago's implied here? Is it lower night?
No, it's not. It's 3-2. Okay, absolutely. Absolutely right in the middle of that cash group to consider.
So I think Chicago may be a sneaky run. And Kane is right up to one of my top plays today.
Yeah, you've got
that price.
So we've got a couple big boys, I think. Obviously, you got Marner, Ovechkin. If you can get them, sure. Ovechkin's big. Yep. Man, he's been playing well ever since we were hating on him. He's really turned things around. Do you remember
I guess he's playing. He got hurt, but he missed practice. But it does look like he is. Last I saw, he's playing tonight.
Yeah, he's got 6 straight double digits and 10 of 11. So he's gone from a guy I hate. Actually, really consistent. But he's 9K. That's a really, really hefty price tag. For cheaper, you've got Marner for a couple hundred bucks less, who's he himself has been pretty darn consistent as well. You've got Gensel and Rust. That Pittsburgh one has been doing heavy lifting here, so those guys remain in play. You mentioned Kane. Kane is 7,400, which is, you know, 1,600 cheaper than Ovechkin. I don't know how you can play Ovechkin over Kane. Kane's averaging 1.86 points per home game this year. Nobody on the slate is even close to that. 1.86. DeBrincat's right behind him at 1.67.
Yeah, these guys are just nice quiet year.
Oh, he's, I mean, yeah, he's
a quiet nice year. Yeah, and so you're exactly right.
Just crush him.
Because if I'm not going to go up, and I would love a Matthews Marner little mini stack, or like a Riley or something, like a GPs. But I think either Kane or my second favorite play is Panarin at 7-8. I mean, both of these guys, Panarin's got 2 goals and 4 assists in 3 games against the Flyers this year. He's got 6 total points over his last 4 games played. So one of them two, Panarin or Kane, is going to be my main lineup. I'm leaning Kane right now, but I keep missing on Panarin, and then I don't play him. He's got a big game, but I think that $1,000, you're gonna need that $1,000 savings tonight, especially when you got Matthew. If you want to play Matthews and Sid,
yep. I think you also got to include Rantanen in that mix as well.
He's another one. Yep.
He's got goals in 5 straight, 6 of his last 8. So this guy, 6 of his last 7. I'm sorry, this guy is red hot again.
He's only I'm thinking he's in the 8s. He's only 7.
No, he's actually dropped. He's been over 8K for 5 straight slates, and for some reason he dropped $400. I get the Vegas matchup has something to do with that, but yeah, I just think you stay under 8K here. You got Gensel, Panarin, Rantanen, Kane, DeBrincat. These are all really, really solid plays. I would be fine with any of those guys in cash.
And I know you mentioned, Brian Rust under 7K against Buffalo. Rust isn't playing as well as Gensel and Sid, but hey, he had assists last night.
He's rocking a 4-game point streak.
Yeah, assists the night before against the Devils.
Yep.
Svechnikov's my other more of a gut play tonight. I get these feelings on Svechnikov, and I love that line with Stahl and Fast. He just, to me, should be producing more. I saw a stat where he's shooting the puck like almost high 30% on that power play. He's a they're looking for him to shoot in that power play. So I'm a Svechnikov guy as well.
His production is not where it should be.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
and they got Fiala the same way.
Too big of a slate for me to take a chance on Svek and cash due to his lack of consistency. But I mean, you've been right on that gut call with him a few times this year, so never gonna hate on you for that.
And I know I just said the other play would be to me the same situation as Fiala sitting there at 5-3. Now the other night he came close to a double bonus. He had 4 shots and 2 blocks. Didn't get the bonus either. The wake up game's coming on him here eventually.
Cannot believe how poorly he has been playing DFS wise. Really frustrating.
He hasn't had a goal in since Arizona on the 14th. So two weeks.
A center I meant to mention, kind of forgot about him, is Yanni Gord scored again. He's working on a 4-goal point streak. So again, another one of these options. If you land in that mid 4 range and you're like, man, this is an awkward spot, you do have some options. You've got Yanni Gord, you've got Roope Hintz, both 4-6, 4-5. We're both in really good recent form. So I did want to throw his name in there as kind of that odd mid-range where if you land there. You got anything else at wing? I think we mentioned plenty of pay-up options, plenty of value. I guess do you got anybody in this like 4K-ish range that you like?
No. I have Schwartz at 3-8, and then I go up to like that weird GVP-ish Fialish. Svechnikov, so no. I think you drop all the way down to like a Schwartz, Simmons, that way, or because you're going to be paying up for.
Yeah, it's gonna, or even be, or even Hagel. I like that Hagel play more and more as a punt.
I agree.
I think you could run Simmons, Hagel, one pricey wing, two stud centers. I'll have to build with it, but just kind of as we talk through here. I guess it is worth mentioning you do have Pittsburgh value up and down the lineup. You talked about McCann. We also have Evan Rodriguez put, I think, like 8 shots on net last night, did score a goal. Yeah, he's not very good, but he's only 3,400. You know, played 16 minutes last night. That's cheap exposure. And plus, this is a little bit of revenge if he used to play for Buffalo. So Evan Rodriguez is another viable value. And then Zach Aston-Reese got moved up to the second line. I'm actually a big Zach Aston-Reese fan. I wish they would play him higher like this. Permanently, I think he's pretty good. He had a goal and an assist, and he's got goals now in 2 of his last 3 since he's seen his minutes climb up to that 14-15 range. So he's in the second line. So the second line offers some value. Kapanen, if he plays, remains on that top power play unit. So just some Pittsburgh names to keep an eye on because they are dirt cheap here. All right, let's swing over to defense. This is a tough spot today. We got a lot of options on the board. Right now we project Roman Josi to be the highest owned. I'm not paying 6,400. He's actually been pretty good this year, but no thank you. Where are you leaning here at defense?
Yeah, if it was like there was no salary constraints, Josi would be the play. I mean, he didn't miss a beat. He came back the other night, had 6 shots and block and an assist, so I think he's a top pay up. Obviously, if we're playing the guys you mentioned, we got to go down. I think McCarr's in a great spot. I love a McCarr, McKinnon, GVP spot. Fox, probably still too expensive in the 5s, though, but he's playing well. Grzelcyk, he's quietly smashed over his last 3. 17 shots, a goal, and 2 assists his last 3 games, and he's a quarterback on that perfection line power play. He's like in the low 4s, but I'm probably got to go down is, one thing I'm probably going to use Adam Boqvist. I end up using him almost every night now. He's playing really well. He's on the top game power play. Always means fun. You know, he's at 3-7 in play. And then he hasn't done anything yet, but he's still on the top power play is Brad Hunt at 2-7. He may have
actually,
to go that
so
low.
Actually, I think he got moved. I actually just was looking at that. I'm seeing him as moved off of that unit.
Oh, I saw him in DFO unless it changed after I saw it. No, I made sure to look
just,
that up.
Just updated because I thought the same thing. I said, oh, he's still there. But nope,
yep.
They've got Dumba up top.
Dumba's up there now. So Hunt's up. Is he up? Okay, he's totally up. All right, so erase that name. And there isn't a real lot of value guys that I would probably end up like with a Boqvist, Grzelcyk, because I don't think you can go much higher than Grzelcyk. I mean, Chabot's in a good – he's playing almost 30 minutes a game in a pace-up game against Toronto. But these guys are probably – too expensive if you're going to use the players you mentioned. Jacob Trouba's only 3-7 on the Rangers' second power play. Ryan Suter, maybe. Oh, yeah, well, he's on the power play 2 now. Right? Suter's on the 2. He's only 3-3. I thought Gustafsson looks like he fell off the Philly power play the last time I looked.
Yeah, I mean, Dumba's only 4-1.
That's a reasonable price for Dumba.
Yeah, problem is this Minnesota power play is so bad. Ty Smith has points in 3 of his last 4. I'm a big Ty Smith fan. I think he's going to be.
I didn't even think of Ty. What's Smith's 3-6-8? Well, I think he was 3-2 the other night, right?
3-6. Yep. Let me check. Make sure he's still on that top power play unit.
I can definitely deal with Ty Smith. I play
he's
him.
Still
he
on that top power play unit. So Ty Smith in play, Dahlin's 3-4. He's coming off of a goal. He's on the top power play. I mean, Buffalo's an absolute disaster, but he is there.
And I find myself wanting to use guys like Colin Miller and stuff, and then he just can't. I mean, they're so bad.
Yeah, Colin Miller hasn't done anything. It looks like Wolanin might be back for Ottawa on power play 2. So we're doing some power play 2 straight up punts, 2-5 if you wanted to punt the position. John Marino scored yesterday. He's 3-1 for Pittsburgh. John Marino is actually a good defender. He's had a rough year, but it's another young guy I'm a really big fan of. I think his future is really bright. John Marino coming in at 3,100. You mentioned Suter at 33. So there are some options here. This is kind of a weak position, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it is. Like, a problem with a guy like – I would play a guy like Wolinen at 2-5 as a pump, but the guy's getting less than 10 minutes,
yeah.
Even on – you know, if they get a bunch of penalties, you know, they're on the extra man, and he might pump up like 12. But, no, I'm probably going to end up with, like I said, a Boquist and Smith or a Boquist and Grishelik. I mean, Boston does scare me that they didn't – their practice got canceled again today. Scheduling conflict or something.
A week now.
They haven't played. Right, but they all speak. Everybody's gonna be off them. You know what I mean? Still, that top, you know, that top line can go crazy. So GPPs, that might be a sneaky line to get out there. You know, with the Marchand, Bergeron, Pasta line. Just, you know, just to be something different. I don't think you're gonna catch them high home tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Probably a position I come to last.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish I could give a little better direction here, but there's just nobody really, you know, crushing lately that's an absolute steal like we've had. Just looking at recent form, Adam Fox has 6 points over four games. Still, he's a decent price. They've got a nice total.
Yeah, I would definitely play Fox if I had. I just think that might be too much money for how I'm trying to.
Trying to build. You'd have to drop off somebody else to get somebody like that. You mentioned Grizzly. Grizzly has 5 points over his last six. I mean, that's it. It's a very small list of guys who are 0.8 or higher points per game over the last five or over the last four plus games. There's very few hot defenders. And if they are, they're priced accordingly. You know, Morgan Riley has 5 points in six games. Dougie has 14 points in 12 games. Hedman's got 7 over 5. Shea Theodore's got 10 over 8. All these guys are absolutely in play. But again, you're going to have to decide, do I want to play Dougie or Yossi or Shea Theodore at 6K or higher, and then I'll have to sacrifice a wing. So just something you have to decide. There is value at wing, which so if you wanted to pay up a defense, you could. You just have to take some value at the wing. So, all right, let's swing over to goalie. Another important decision here. What do you think of Kevin Lankinen in at 7-4 with no Barkov on the other side?
Yeah, that could possibly work. I was actually just going through them. I didn't find that much for value. The cheapest one I saw is possibly the Carolina guy, the Carolina goalie. But I honestly, Lankinen didn't really cross my mind, but I think actually that could be a good play because you're looking at
Nedeljkovic, by the way.
Nedeljkovic. Florida is – Barkov is very important to that team. And to look at those lines all of a sudden, and, yeah, that could definitely – I mean, when you got guys like Nola Carey skating on their top line and stuff, I mean, yeah, that could be –
Oh, it's not pretty without Barkov.
Yep. And he's such a good player on both ends of the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got Marchment, Akari. Yeah,
Lankinen, yep.
Wenberg, Vetrano in your top six. Like, that's like, I like Vetrano. I like Wenberg. Like, but I mean, these aren't great players. Like, it's a much weaker lineup without Duclair. So, yeah, I mean, still scary. Huberdeau, Hornquist are really good scorers, can put points on the board. But yeah, I think Lankinen's in play at that price. Binnington's all the way down to 7,500. I fell for that the other day. He ended up burning me. Issue is Minnesota has won 10 straight at home. So I'm a little gun shy about targeting against them when they're at home.
So what about Kakkonen from Minnesota at 7-8? I mean, he got hammered against the Avalanche, but he was riding a 9-game win streak before that. Can't ignore that.
Everyone's getting hammered against the Avalanche lately. Yeah, I mean, Kakkonen's been really good.
He's 6-3 at home with 231 goals allowed, average of 2 shutouts. So I think you can consider that. So I'd be looking at probably Kakkonen or Lankinen. And Lankinen's played well. I mean, like you said, with a missing Barkov, he's 11-7-4, 283 goals allowed, 915 save percentage. I think he'd be in play. If not, I can't see much. I guess Casey DeSmith, but you're paying a lot against Buffalo. Should get the win. Soros for Nashville, or is Rene, it's going to be either. Well, Soros got the start on Tuesday, so it could be Pekka, possibly. So, you know, those guys. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think Lankinen or the Carolina goalie, you're Kakkonen.
Yeah, I mean the 8K, if you can get up to it, the 8K range is loaded. DeSmith has six straight double digits, 8 of 9. He's quietly playing really well. 2.11 goals against average.
Jack Campbell, who
Jack
we did well
Campbell
for us
has
the other
been
night.
incredible. He's 4-0 with a goals against average of 1. Vasilevsky is riding a team record 12 game win streak. He's been incredible. 21-3-1. He's about as safe as it gets. Yeah, so there are some options here if you do want to pay up, that are in really good form. Nedeljkovic, you mentioned, if he starts, he's quietly having a really good year. He's pretty much a lock for double digits. It's just, again, you're gonna have to decide where you're putting your funds. If you do pay down, Lankinen makes sense. It is risky, but he just played these guys and put up 22, gave up 2 goals and 35 shots. I believe that was that the game that Barkov missed as well? Was that the last game they just played? Same matchup? I believe it was.
Yeah, he played the last. Yeah, he played the last game.
Yeah, so he's in play. GPP play, go right back to our boy Mackenzie Blackwood. He's starting to find his form again, three straight over 15. Brutal matchup with Washington in Washington, but again, GPP play. He does have upside. He's shown that. That's really about it. Goalies, tough today.
Yeah, and even a guy like Vaz. He's almost become like a soccer goalie for me. Unless you get a win and a shutout from Baz, you're not going to get the points you want for that price.
Yeah, he's safe, but he doesn't have that. I mean, we talked about the other day, he just doesn't have the same ceiling because they just don't give up many shots.
Exactly. So he's got to get
They
the shutout.
play low event hockey. So, all right, favorite GPP stack or stacks?
To be different, just knock out Pittsburgh one, Toronto one. How about Chicago two with the Kublik and Hague? Rangers two with Panarin and Kako and St. Louis one, Tarasenko line.
Like all of those, I'm not as high as St. Louis. That's just a personal thing. St. Louis has just been one of those teams for me over the years that I struggle to get right. Colorado won, man. I'm going right back there in GPPs. Brutal matchup with Vegas, one of the best defensive teams in the NHL. Should keep their ownership down, so I like them for GPPs. I like the Chicago 2 call a lot. Yeah, man, don't sleep on the Rangers here. Then your obvious stacks you already mentioned.
Here's a
Absolutely.
cheap stack. Ottawa two, Stützle, Turney, and Batherson.
Yeah,
They
Tierney's
played
playing really well right now.
right. They played, and the with Batherson and Stützle together, they've generated 2 goals in just 14 minutes of ice time against Toronto this year. Also 5 high danger chances. So, they're gonna be overlooked. I mean, of course, it's a tournament play and a large slate, but just something there. Something different for GBPs.
Yep, agreed. Just did some tinkering, by the way, and you can build a pretty nice lineup with some of the plays we talked about, and not have to overly punt anywhere. So I think we're in good shape tonight, actually. Hopefully that helps you guys talking through plays like that. I think that's about it for us. So top plays should be out here shortly. Cheat sheet is live, will be updated 2 more times, once here in a couple hours, and then one more final time before lock. So with all that being said, we'll catch you next time and good luck.
All right, good luck, guys.